5, he is again reaffirming to Israel that their future is still bright as a nation, that he still has great plans for them in his kingdom. So beginning in verse 17 of Isaiah 65. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall not be more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people. And mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass, that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. So God here is encouraging Israel about a new earth. A new earth. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. How exciting it is, Lord, to see these passages about the future and to know that we, as your children, will be able to participate. And Lord, may this just thrill our souls. And Lord, give us that zeal to tell others how they also can escape hell and enjoy the kingdom if they'll but trust Christ. And so, Lord, do a miracle in our hearts tonight through your powerful word. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we see that God is again promising Israel that they will have a new earth to live on, and of course eventually a new heaven and a new earth after the kingdom. But the Bible teaches that there will actually be geographic changes at the kingdom. There will be changes in how long people live. This is talking about people still living in their human bodies. Changes in the results of your labors. They'll all be blessed, even in the animal life and so forth. So all of this is going to happen in the future for Israel, and of course we as God's children get to participate. Now the first thing we see is that things are going to change geographically. If you go to Zechariah 14, I'll show you that this passage, which talks about the actual place where Jesus Christ returns, we just recently studied in Acts and saw that it's the very place where Jesus ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives outside Jerusalem. But the angel said that he would so come in like manner, which meant bodily, visibly, and he would even return to the exact same spot from where he left. And notice what will happen when he returns here in Zechariah 14, verse 4. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. So there will actually be a geographic change. Jesus is going to split this mountain. There'll be a river coming out from the middle down in verse 8. It shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder sea. In the summer and in winter shall it be. So there will actually be a river coming out of the ground right there in Jerusalem. All this is going to happen when Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom. And so the first thing we see is Jesus is going to change the earth. Looks like back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. The second thing we see here in verse 18, he says, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. Now this hasn't been true for centuries. But again, God is not finished with Israel. And there will be, during the kingdom age, this joyous time. And Israel will again be restored. And there will be a full knowledge of God throughout the whole earth. Which, of course, we don't have now. Go to chapter 11, and we'll see this, Isaiah 11 and verse 9, where the Bible tells us again They shall not hurt nor destroy on all my holy mount, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Imagine what that'll be like when everybody on earth knows about Jesus. They'll even know His Word. They'll know there'll be one language. And they'll be able to go to Jerusalem and actually see Jesus Christ during this time. So it'll be a time of full knowledge, a time of geographic changes. But notice verse 19, also, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Imagine that in this amazing time, that it will be a time of complete joy. Go back to chapter 51 of Isaiah, and a time of no weeping or crying. Notice verse 3 of Isaiah 51. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Down in verse 11 of 51, it says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. That word joy shows up like three times in that one verse. And did you see there where God said that it would be again like Eden? So Jesus is going to return, give Israel their kingdom. Rivers will come out of Jerusalem. Mountains will be moved and changed. There'll be a full knowledge of God. No weeping or crying, just joy. And then we see this interesting verse, verse 20, which talks about man's lifespan. Now again, this is not talking about us. We'll already be in our redeemed bodies. But it's talking about those people that survive the tribulation, go into the kingdom, and then start multiplying and having children. Lifespans are going to be returned back to the way they were prior to the flood. Interesting. Because it tells us here, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old. And the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. So somebody dies at 100, they'll be considered young during this time. Of course, we make a big deal about 100 because it's so old. But during the kingdom, it'll be the exact opposite. People will live long again like they did prior to the flood. God will change it back to the way it was. And again, He reminds them that their labors will even be blessed. You know, now we have to fight against famine and thorns and soil problems and drought and on we go. It won't be that way in the kingdom. And again, it'll be like the Garden of Eden. Notice He tells us there, verse 22, they shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. So as people plant, they'll reap. Verse 23, they shall not labor in vain nor bring forth for trouble, but they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord and their offspring with them. Go back to or over to Amos 9, if you would. And again, talking about the kingdom and how wonderful of a time it will be. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos chapter 9, verse 13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. It's not that way now, eh, Brother Doug? And the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. In other words, things will bear fruit so amazingly fast and so abundantly that you can't plant and harvest it fast enough before it's coming again. That's what it'll be like during this time. It says, the mountains shall drop sweet wine and the hills shall melt. It will be an amazing thing. And we get to be part of it. Praise the Lord. So back to our passage, verse 24, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. I know a lot of people like to quote this verse when talking about prayer, and that's fine, but that's not what the verse is talking about. This is talking about the kingdom. And during the kingdom, there will be instant responses from God. Because as we know, we've read before, there will be a unified worship. Jesus Christ will be ruling and reigning from Jerusalem, and instantaneous prayers, instantaneous answers from God. Even now, we can claim that it's true, that God hears our prayers, praise God. But the direct application is talking about during the kingdom. And if you go to Zephaniah chapter 3, we'll see more about this. Zephaniah chapter 3. And part of the reason will be, as we've talked about, there will be this unified worship of the Lord of heaven. Now, that doesn't mean everybody will be saved, unfortunately. But it does mean everybody will know who God is, and everybody will be worshiping the true God in Jerusalem. Zephaniah 3:9, for them will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. So remember what happened at Babel? That gets undone. Back to one language. Remember what happened with the flood? Lifespans went down. That gets undone. Lifespans come back. All of these things get restored back to the way they were in the beginning, prior to the fall of man. And in addition to that, verse 23, we see that even the animal life changes. So not only does the geographic part of the earth change, not only is there this joy, not only do the lifespans of man change, the reaping and so forth changes. When you plant, you're going to reap wonderfully. It's unified worship, but even God undoes what he did with the curse on the animals. Verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. That doesn't work too well right now, does it? Because the wolf tends to eat the lamb. But this says that they will feed together. Because it looks like, from what we read in Scripture, that all animals will be vegetarians. How about that? It says, the lion shall eat straw. We've never known a lion to do that. And if you go back to chapter 11 again, we'll see more on this. But I am guessing, speculating, if you will, that this is how it was in the Garden of Eden prior to the fall. That all animals are vegetarians. I don't know if men were, but animals looked like they all were. And God's going to put it back. Notice chapter 11, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Can you imagine a little child leading around a lion? But that's how it'll be during the kingdom. How would you like to have a full-grown lion as a pet? During the kingdom, you will. Verse 7. The cow and the bear shall feed. Right now, cows and bears don't really cohabitate too well. And their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. So no poisonous snakes. A lot of people say we'd better if it just weren't snakes, but at least there's no poisonous snakes. So it looks like God's going to restore the earth for Israel's sake. This is their kingdom. It's how he meant it to be when he originally created it. Man fell. Part of that fall wasn't just man dying spiritually, but remember, God cursed the earth as well. And that curse gets lifted, and the earth gets restored back to the way God planned it originally. And all of these things will take place at the kingdom. And he finishes with this beautiful promise here in verse 25. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Can you imagine a earth with no war? Man's been trying for this and trying for this. And the harder he tries, the more wars we have. Why would that be? Well, because God said it would be that way, but because we're sinners and the devil is the god of this world. But when the Prince of Peace is ruling the world, it's going to be a time of true peace. No hurting or destroying. And when he says, all my holy mountain, he's talking about his kingdom. He's referring to his kingdom. Go back to chapter 2, and we'll see more on this. And these are some of the scriptures that they actually have on the inscribed out in front of the UN building. that come from the Bible, believe it or not. The thing is, they just weren't intended for this age. They were intended for the kingdom age. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, He shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And that's talking about the kingdom. When the Prince of Peace comes, there will be true peace. Peace on earth, as they say. It'll come. Go to chapter 11 again, one more time. Verse 4, Bible says, But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Perfect justice, perfect peace, perfect ruling of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this, Israel has been promised for centuries, and they've waited. Remember the last question they asked Jesus right before he ascended to heaven. Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? This is what they were talking about. Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. You shall receive power, and I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, your kingdom's on hold. Now there's this new thing called the church. Now when that's over, and you go through a time of judgment called the tribulation period, then you can have your kingdom. All in the future. You know what's so exciting? Is the day that we got saved, we were grafted in. We became joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. That's in Revelation 20. Let's go there and close there. And be reminded that we get to be with Jesus Christ on this amazing new earth with geographic changes, perfect worship, joy, peace, longer lifespans, animals, all vegetarians, and no violence, and perfect justice. Notice Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's us. We get to reign with him 1,000 years. So praise the Lord for this beautiful promise to Israel of a brand new, perfect kingdom on a new earth that God has promised to Israel and to us. So now we just need to tell people how to get there. Amen? Tell them the good news. Jesus died on the cross, rose again, offers them eternal life, and offers them a place in this beautiful kingdom. But they must just repent and trust Christ. Let's pray.